Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. So he got the joy down in his heart, amen. I got the joy down in my heart, amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus is Lord, amen. And God is our Father, hallelujah. And I thank God, hallelujah, for another exciting training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Welcome to all my saints and friends. Amen, to another exciting training day session. Amen, I'm giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life, Jesus Christ that is. Amen, the Father, Lord God, Jehovah, hallelujah, the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen, Pastor Gerald Overall, also known as Pastor O, my producer, his lovely wife, and friends and saints that are running for Christ Ministries, amen, and Word of Faith, amen, and Action for God, Christian Center, amen, and hallelujah. You know, I'll just say praise the Lord for this opportunity. You know, we just had Thanksgiving here in America, amen, and we give thanks because we are in America. We're one of the few nations where you can freely praise God as you choose. I mean, hallelujah. I got some things to share, amen. Bless the Lord, amen. But let's go before the throne of grace, that opportunity that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, we do praise you, we do bless you, amen, for this day that you have made, this opportunity for us to get to know you better. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you so that we can do that which is your will. Amen. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even myself. I want it to be all of you and none of me, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this whole thing is just magnificent. The more you learn, you know, the more you learn, the more you realize what you don't know. And then you begin to become more grateful that God even shared what he has shared. You know, I mean, he created man. There's no question about that. But, you know, the fact that he made man as a separate individual with his own thinking and his own will didn't entitle us to anything. You know, the fact that things went south, as they say, you know, I don't know why they say south, you know, I guess because north is where heaven is, south is where hell would generally be. He still wasn't obligated. He didn't have to save us. You know, he could make us work our way to heaven as people waste their time trying to do. You know, he knew, but, you know, and his compassion, which is natural for a father to care about his children. He wants the best for them, but it is of such great significance for us to understand it. You know, life as elaborate as it is, as detailed as it is, as challenged as it is, God knows who and what we are. You know, our message session is we haven't passed Thanksgiving, we're back on who and what is the Christ. Because it's if you study the Word of God, which is the Bible, it's clear that Christ is more than, it is not his last name. I mean, he wasn't born in Mary's last name and Joseph's last name wasn't the Christ. It wasn't the Christ family. Even though the book of James, which I believe, everybody don't agree, but I do, was written by James, the brother of Jesus, his last name is not Christ. And that family is somewhere on the earth. They may even come to be known as before Jesus returned, or they may not. It doesn't matter. Okay? So, you know, because I know I have new followers, let me bring you up to date on to what this whole program is about. Okay, years ago, God started me on a program called Training Day. And it's based on 1 John 3, Philippians 3:20 and 1 John 3:2. Now, you got to listen to this because it escapes people. And we're at a time, I'm learning something. It's some things I don't think God intended for us to know. Case in point, you got to look at the evolution of the Bible and how the events went down, okay? You know, they didn't have start water baptism as a quick reference until after the resurrection of Christ, or Jesus Christ, that is. So there's a process, but listen to this. This is in Philippians. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven. That's your main base. Okay, you're basically a visitor here. Okay, that's if you're in Christ. It says, and we eagerly await a Savior there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Okay? Now, in 1 John 3:2, it says, dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And if you want to kind of glimpse of that, you can go and read the first chapter of the book of Revelation. You know, the Jesus now ain't the Jesus was. You know, he might look like the Jesus was when he visited people on earth, and he has visited many people, amen, and I don't know how he pick and choose, but he does. Anyway, coming through clear, I think I'm going to have to get some new equipment here. It's been a while. All right. So the point is that you have to go back and review the events that some of the things that Jesus did, particularly after his resurrection. I mean, it's phenomenal. And I know some groups of Christians, various groups, believe that we will stay as we are, but at a almost perfected state. There will be no extreme supernatural capabilities. But the thing about that is when I ask the person that believed that, did you ask God about that? I don't get a yes. Because until you do, and I recently had that conversation with a person that believes such, but they could not just say that. And pride, a few weeks ago I did a series on pride, and the Bible don't have nothing good about it, because you are here to learn to manage the spirit that God gave you. Okay, you got to look at the magnitude of what has occurred, and don't just, like they say, drive over it, you know, treat this like a hot dog. This is filet mignon to the max, you know, one of them steaks that cost like $200 and it's only like 3 inches in diameter. I don't know why people do that. I go to Longhorn. But anyway, this is the point. Look at it. You got to look at what happened. You got to put all these events together, because right now we're talking about the Christ. Okay, we have looked at the word, and we've seen that in the New Testament, we know that the Christ means the anointed one. And they tell me in the original Greek Bible is expressed as the anointed one and his anointing. And in Daniel, the book of Daniel, it says where it mentions the Messiah, the Hebrew definition of the Messiah is the anointed one. And the anointed one is a person empowered by God, or in any case, a person empowered by another authority. But in this particular case, it's empowered by God. Now, you got to understand that God doesn't do anything without a reason. He is a purposeful God in everything that he does, and it serves you well to remember that. Because you have to stretch your mind and understanding beyond humanity, beyond your humanness. Even though you won't get to do these things that we are going to do in the near future. Well, we're not too far away from it, I know that much. We clocking down sometimes, some things going on. We've been told if you hear this, when you hear this, pray about that situation over there in Russia sitting on the Ukraine border. I mean, we don't know. The Bible lays out the future. It's the only book on the planet that was so bold enough to do that. So I do know there will be a World War III. I'm not concerned about that. I believe the rapture will occur before that occurs. Because where I live at is a strike zone. Everything for 200 miles between here and Chicago, between Detroit and Chicago, gonna get fried alive. So if you get left behind, you ain't got to worry about the tribulation period. All right. So the point is, you got to look at what happened. So, okay, God created Adam. And when you look in Genesis chapter 2, something marvelous happens. It looks, if you see, we read over, and I've read it many times, but when God started me on this particular path, you know, he pulled back another cover, a layer, as I said. You know, there's a scripture that I refer to frequently, Deuteronomy 29:29, and it said that basically, in the short, it said, the things that I reveal belong to us. The things that are secret belong to God. So there's some things that God hold in reserve to a particular time, because a lot of things, as Paul said in one of his commentaries in one of his messages, y'all can't handle it. Y'all meat babies. And I'm finding people, they want to throw this back at me, but I'm like, hey, just find some scripture that back up what you don't agree with. The point of the matter is what I'm expressing is God has given us more access to his power, and it behooves us to learn to understand what that is about. That's what this program is about. We're moving into the final phase. always, you got to look at what happened. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God, it seems like he just picked up some dirt, breathed, and that was puff, and a man appeared. You're missing a detail. And this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. When he breathed, that breath, just like when you spit, you breathe some air out, it's no longer within you. Okay? It's out there, but it's not within you. And it is a living substance. You can see it now under a microscope. It's a living substance, okay? Everything come out of you. But anyway, all right. So he severed. Now, understand who did this. God did this. Why did he do this? He wants a family, a big family. From what I've heard, since Adam, there's been some 880 million people born. Okay, and that's including the ones they cut off early. All right, but and he's going to expand that family throughout the universe. But there's a process. God knows how to be God. We don't. God knows how to love under any circumstance. We don't. We know this because he put up with us till we got a revelation of who he is. And then there was the growth process. That's why they call us babes in Christ when you start out. I don't care if you're 80 years old. If you're just starting on this journey, you're a baby in Christ because you got to learn some things like how to manage anger. All right. Now, to try to draw a connection here, I want to read in Romans. Now, that was the first Adam, Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. I know I wrote it down somewhere. Already. Well, the point of the matter is, this is, okay, the first Adam, God made, I want to read what it says in the Bible, because you got to understand, I want you to, I'm taking my time on this, okay? I am taking my time. Now, that's not Romans, that's 1 Corinthians. I had it right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And you want to go back and read all of this, because in this particular chapter has the mentioning of the rapture. We're not talking about that right now. We're getting close to it. And for new people, the rapture is God before all this drama hit the earth, before World War III is what I believe, before World War III strikes, and behind that is the Great Tribulation, which you can read in the book of Revelation from chapter 5 on through. You should read the whole book. Take a month and read the whole book, but those events in there are going to happen in the future, and it's going to be horrifying. It says, and so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. That's what you got in Genesis 2, verse 7. The last Adam, talking about Jesus Christ, was made a quickening or an alive-making spirit. Zupio, make alive, life-giving. In other words, Christ has the power to give life. It does, eternal life. Now, understand, let me help you understand some things, because like I said, I've met some unique, some blessed people, and it's a lot to understand. Now, we're talking about the Christ. That it is not Jesus' name. It is actually, every time you hear that name, it's a statement. And if you look, you go back and you listen to the previous messages, you'll kind of get a clue. Because it would take, this would take a whole year to teach, actually. Because the whole Old Testament pretty much covers, makes reference to Christ. Because it embodies God's total plan. And that is, like I said, to have a man have children that have capabilities equal almost I make that clear. Almost equal to his. We are, in essence, gods, but always spelled with a small g. And what happens is, like, one of the events that happens is that Jesus, when he came back in John 20:26 to visit the disciples after his resurrection, he manifested in front of the disciples. And he didn't open the door. He didn't make a hole in the roof. He didn't bust a hole in the wall. He just appeared. And then in Acts chapter 1, when he left them physically for almost the last time, he just floated on up into space. Now, that is complete command of the molecular atmosphere, and anyone that can do that can do pretty much anything. And this is why our lives are such, whereas we have to master love, more specifically agape love, under any circumstance. And Jesus laid it out in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. He said, you got to learn to love God, which means everything is not going to go your way, and you must love your neighbor. And he didn't specify. He said neighbor, period. Don't matter if they good or bad, because there's a process in dealing with them written out in the word. You have to understand your role as a Christian. Now, to accomplish this, when God made Adam, he made him with his own, he put his own spirit, he severed a piece of his own spirit, is kind of like cloned himself. Except that the clone don't have everything that the original has, okay? There will always and only be one, capital G-O-D. Amen. So the point here is, but now what comes with that is responsibility. That's general in society. You will notice that you will not find in history a culture that where there's this orderly court culture where they don't believe anything. They don't believe nobody is responsible for anything. It just happens. Now, you will find almost, you know, what you will find frequently, particularly in the Bible and in the New Testament, you know, you'll find that they're worshipers of something, okay? Now, because we have intelligence, that demands responsibility. I mean, look at society. You can't drive a car 75 and a 35 and get away with it. You can't just treat people any old kind of way with it all the time and get away with it. That's just natural for society in order for us to live together. And this is what God is talking about. But he wants us to understand that. Now, this is you got to get this, because I'm going to be repeating this part, because I just recently got this, even though it's always been there. It just, we get to express it. Man is a three-part process. Okay? The first part, when he made Adam in the garden, okay, when he made seven of the spirit, that spirit that he gave Adam in a millisecond, took some dirt and constructed the body that we have now. Now, you want some evidence of that, just follow the process of how a baby is born now from creation. Follow the process from the time that a man introduces sperm into a woman's egg. That sperm and egg does not have all the organs and features that you have on your body right now. It doesn't have the bones, doesn't have hair, doesn't have separate eyes, doesn't have tongue, all the part components in there, the 200 different types of cells. That sperm possesses the intelligence to provide all that. Okay, what it doesn't have is the wisdom that God requires to live eternally in his kingdom. And that is what the church is supposed to do, teach the wisdom of God in every relationship that you could possibly have, whether it's business, family. All this is covered in the Bible, which is why it behooves you where you go to worship. Actually, you should worship at home, but where you go to learn the word, okay? Because some churches don't even touch the Bible. They quote a few scriptures and you go. That is not what was intended. Throughout history, before we had these organized churches, that's what it did. The men gathered under the leader that God had appointed, that God had taught his wisdom, and he would share the wisdom with them, and they in turn would go home and share it with their families. Okay, now we have a more modern version of that. All right? Now, okay, so God created the first Adam in the garden. But he has Adam then. If you go back and you read it, for those of you that haven't read it, when God, the sin was, as most people know, that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that garden was the tree of life. Had Adam ate of that tree, he would be on this planet today and everyone else with him. And we really have a mess down here. We think we overcrowded now with just 7 million people. We'd have 880 billion people on the planet right now. Wouldn't be no place to move. All right. So, but again, there's that responsibility that comes with it. Now, mind you, you got to bring in the reality. I have 5-10 Bibles, 15 commentaries. I got YouTube videos, all this to work with, to teach me, to help me, to edify me, to bless me. He didn't have none of that. But within him, it said that God brought the animals to Adam to see what Adam would call them. All right? So that's a tremendous responsibility. At that time, before Adam sinned, see, he never experimented. he was just happy like he was, especially after he got Eve, you know. They hadn't invented fat yet, fat food yet, so you know she was a fox. But anyway, or whatever. So, you know, I don't know. She might have been thick, you know. We don't know. But anyway, the point of the matter is that your spirit manages your body. The Bible tells us that man is a spirit. He has a mind, will, and emotion, and he lives in the body. Okay, and I'm going through all this review because we've been gone a couple of weeks. And the point of this message is I'm trying to help you understand that Christ is not Jesus' last name. And Christians and Christianity, Christians should not be religious folk, okay, just religious folk. And Christianity is not a religion. It's the education system by which God wanted us to learn the second level of man. The first level of man is from Adam up to Jesus, pretty much up to what is called the Day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Then comes the introduction of another level, the Holy Spirit in man. Now, what we have been talking about, we've been looking at some situations where the Spirit of God was up on man. And the reasoning for that is because being on man was to say God could apply his power without his presence. And that's another whole lesson. We're gonna look at. Matter of fact, I want you to get that. Let's go to, because I don't want to get ahead of myself on this. I want to stay with where I'm at. Okay, we looked at some situations. All right? Christ, it's hard to explain because I'm living this one type of life and you're on another, but it's just imagine if I don't know a lot about electricity, but there's a way, think about it, anything that boosts power. Like we got this thing with these shots going on called a booster. It's adding more power to it, greater power. And what comes with greater power is a greater requirement. The Bible says, the word says, to whom much is given, much is expected. Okay? So last time we looked at a man they called Elijah, and we looked at the situation where, you know, he was a prophet of God. Now, understand, we talked about the fact that the Old Testament is based, even though the events actually happened, much of it was a typology of what God is going to complete, and he is going to complete it. It says a typology is a doctrine of theological types, especially one holding things that are in Christian belief and prefigured and symbolized by things in the Old Testament. So when you with prophets, then even though there are prophets now, prophets then were, I would say, more rare, less. They didn't have fun lives. They didn't have a lot of glory in their life. They did, but they had troubles in life. You know, I don't see too many prophets now. Too many prophets now don't disturb people. In other words, prophets got on people's nerves because they had the job. They had the responsibility. See, everybody don't mind. It's easy to tell everybody everything is right. But when you got to tell them when they're wrong and you know they ain't going to like it and you got to tell them anyhow and it's going to cause you, it's going to be a consequence, almost every situation, those prophets, they caught it. See, unlike today, you know, I don't know. I know a couple of prophets. You know, I know some non-prophets. They say they're not prophets. Let me tell you one thing God says. That if a prophet say a thing and it don't come to pass, it's not the thing that the Lord said. And one thing about a prophet is that God gives them revelation of future events. And he give them access to authority. In this case, Elijah had the authority and the power because the king, we went through the facts some weeks ago about how the king, King Ahab, had linked up with a pagan. He should not have done that. I met a young man recently, and he didn't care what kind of woman he met. And I'm like, no, you want to care. You don't want to mix those cultures. You're going to have enough challenge. Man, a woman by herself is a culture. You do not want a woman that don't believe what you believe, because that can be extremely challenging. You're going to, believe me, you want to minimize how much effort you got to put into learning how to love. But if you read God's definition of love, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, you want to keep that to a minimum. You want the joyful love part to be the other three, the eros, particularly with a marriage, the eros. Trust me. All right. So what we saw was particularly his authority. Now imagine this. That's in the First Kings, chapter 19, I believe. But if you want to read First Kings, but particularly start with chapter 18, and get a revelation on what's going on. Matter of fact, let's briefly look at one particular incident. Now, understand what I'm talking about. This man was, quote, anointed, okay? And anointing was done by God would appoint a leader. We went back and we reviewed how God would have them pour oil, which was symbolic of the Holy Spirit being upon a person, granting authority, meaning that person had been given authority by God to hold office. He was either a priest, prophet, or a king. They were all anointed. The prophet would anoint the priest. The priest would anoint the prophet. And they would either anoint the king under the direction of God Almighty. Okay? You have people try to do that on their own. But nothing comes from it. Because God is only going to back up his program. All right. And all this is because down the road will be the third phase of man, which will begin particularly during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, which is 1,000 years on this planet. Now, there's 1,000 years on this planet, which he will rule from Jerusalem. Then after that end of that 1,000 years, he makes a new heaven and a new earth, okay, and begin another process. But that is the finality of it all. But at that point, the restrictions that you have on your life now, the limitations you have on your life now won't be there. But the demand for responsibility for that much power and being able to travel the universe without a vehicle, God won't let you. Listen, anything. Now, anything less than learning how to live in love, he's not going to accept. Now, pretty much anything that is called a sin is pretty much, for the most part, selfishness, pride. I want to do things my way, and that's characteristic of being submissive to Satan. God let Satan exist because God cannot lie, God cannot steal, God don't run schemes, he can't scam, but it's imperative, that's a word I was searching for earlier, imperative that we understand what is God good and what is man good and what is man good and the devil good. They're not the same. Right now, one of the classic or most serious issues you probably heard about is abortion. God is against abortion. God, he has parameters on everything. Why? Because the responsibility to bring a life, that's God's child. That's God's property, for lack of a better word. Nobody has the right to decide that but him. You know, and it's outright murder, period. I don't, they can try to cover it up, butter it up, put whipped cream on it. That's what it is. Because those souls return to God. They remain. You know, they belong to him. He said, all souls belong to me. And the soul that practice sin. When you see sin up, that's a soul that practice sin with impunity. That just do it. Don't even try to act like they're going to do right. All right. So the point here is what I want you to understand, without having to go all the way back. You go back and you read 1 Kings, and you see Elijah was allowed access to more power. That power didn't just come. It was always there. It was always there. And see, in this way, God, this is one of the things about God, and that's how life works. As you mature, see, they didn't just jump up and get access to this power. There was a process to this. You know, this is what you're reading some of in the Old Testament. There are other books that you would have to read to get more details on what they had. They have what was called the School of the Prophets, and that is where you learn these disciplines. Some of the things that we are learning now, which you read in the Old Testament, there's more detail about behavior in the New Testament than it is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you see a lot of activity, but you don't have the details or anyway, you don't have all the details of information, but they were there because you saw it in the behavior of many individuals who were not of high office, okay, that you saw that in their character, you know, that God used men. God, believe me, he don't just pick anybody. There's something there's a person, for instance, that right now, a saint, a Christian that prays every day, God will use them. Because that's an act of submission. They taking time to pray for people they don't know, and in some cases they don't even know where they know. That's what happened when a person, the greatest act of submission in prayer is praying in tongues. Because you don't even get to know who you're praying for. You don't even get to know what you're saying. That takes some faith and love to do that. It takes faith. And faith works by love. It takes that to pray in the Holy Ghost. It takes that. You can't do it without that. People do it. I can't say can't do it because I'm learning some things about people. I'd be amazed at what some tongue talkers do. Anyway, so I'm trying to get this. I'm going to go through this by step. Because, like I said, I get to communicate with a lot of people, and I want them to have, I don't want them to be stuck at the religious phase. I recently stopped talking to a person because I've realized they won't come past religion. But guess what? The devil ain't religious. Satan is not religious. I'm telling you, if you don't learn how to operate in the power of God, he will abuse you. And I've seen him abuse a lot of people. He'll abuse your finances. And I've seen this when people get through, they get stuck in challenges. And this is the hope that you have to evolve. Because the challenges will not stay where you are. they will evolve because God has an expectation of you growing in the spirit. All right. Now, I want to go, and I think this is an important point. I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're still dealing with Elijah, okay? And the reason is here is I don't want you to get, see, when you become a Christian, that does not solve all your problems. 1 Kings, chapter 19, yes. Okay. All right. Now, let me catch you up with this event. Now, hear this. Just before this, in the 18th chapter, Elijah, you know, God had shut up the rain, and they had rain for 3 years. 3 whole years without rain. You're talking about a drought. Anyway, it was a whole lot of events that went on like this. Mind you, this is deep stuff. All right. Now, Elijah is getting up out of town. The king is getting up out of town, Ahab, right? Because he won this. There's some events that went down. But anyway, Elijah at that time, now the king is riding a chariot. Now, you know, the king had the fastest and the best horses, and he's getting it on down the road. And Elijah, on his feet now, picks up his robe, ties it up, goes running, run past the king on his feet. Mind you now, man, he'd be an Olympic star. That's part of the anointing. And people are learning how to access that. I think Simone Biles know how to access it. But anyway, all right. So now, here he has what the other party is, the king's wife, Jezebel. Jezebel is the mother of, I know y'all ain't going to like this. Now, there's the independent woman, and there's the non-dependent woman. That's how the Lord gave it to me. See, Jezebel was of her own mind. You got to go back and read about her because she's the only woman that I read in the Bible, you know, married to a man, but she's just going to do her own thing. I used to hear about that Jezebel-y spirit. I didn't know what they were talking about until I read about her. But she was out to kill Ahab, okay, kill Elijah because he took out her prophets. You know, she had her own little pagan ritual going, her own religion going that she brought in with her. And anyway, so now here he is. My point in this particular aspect that even when you have access to the power of God as he has had, your human emotion can be affected by demonic spirits. Now, see, you can't see them. You hear them talking to you, okay? And the reason I bring this up because, listen at this. It says Elijah was afraid in 1 Kings 19:3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Now, mind you, this is what happened. Let me give you a quick rundown here. Okay, now, Elijah the Hebrew, when he took out the prophets of Baal, and listen, there's God and there's the devil. The devil got a lot of aliases. God got many names. Satan got many names. Anything that's not of God is the devil. I don't care what they call it, okay? But anyway, so like I said, his Jezebel, Ahab's wife, Phoenician queen, married to an Israelite king, marriage maiden, not in heaven. Anyway, so they're going to have this challenge in which they're going to make this offering before God. And back then what they did, they went and got an animal and they cut it up in pieces. You know, a whole lot of people wouldn't run into the ministry back then, that's for sure, with cutting up with a job like that. But you get to be a real cut up. Anyway, so they held this worship service anyway, and he challenges the prophets of Baal. Okay, it was 400 of them, or thereabout. Anyway, and So he tell them, the God that answers by fire, he is God. Okay, and we're going to settle this issue. Who is God? Okay. And so the prophets of Baal do their thing, you know. I mean, they do some crazy stuff anyway, trying to get they God, Baal, you know. And I picture an angel from God, one of the mean ones, like the same angel. Now, Michael could do it, but I don't think that was lightweight to him. You know, that angel that took out 185,000 Assyrians in one night, he probably went and grabbed Baal, put his hand over his mouth, and wouldn't let him talk, wouldn't let him do nothing, all while they hollering and trying to get him to do something anyway. So Elijah, not only they set the offering up there, and, you know, he told him, pour some water on it. They poured water on it, made a trench, right, and filled it up with water. And then he called on the name of the Lord God, Jehovah. And Jehovah dropped fire down, burned up the offering and everything. And then Elijah said, now, who is Lord? And he called all the children of Israel. They got their mind back, got their mind right, boss. And they went and they killed all the prophets. They could do that back then. I would love to right now, but God won't let me do that no more. He don't do that no more. Anyway, so now, despite all this, I mean, this guy has done miracles, bringing people back to life. I mean, he's seen things of the Lord that the average person did not do, and yet he's afraid of this chick talking about killing him. All right? So much so that he didn't got depressed. You know, that comes with this life. It happens. Because as you live this life, like I said earlier, you have to evolve. Because your battles are going to evolve. Why? Because God is always and fully conscious of the magnitude of the power he has given you. Sometimes you may think God is letting too much happen. But he said he won't give you no more than you can bear. Sometimes we add to the pile and make stuff too happy. And it takes something. Why? Because his expectation is for you to take and utilize the power and authority he gave you to overcome it. You've already overcame it. I've heard this man of God say if it's in the ring with you, talking about a spiritual warfare fight, then you won. If God let it in the ring, you won. But what you have to do is lean into the Lord. That means you got to cut your TV off. You got to, one of the things you will have to do, you got to get into personal worship. One of the characteristics I know with all of these guys, which is what you hear and read during the Psalms, is personal worship. That's key, because Ephesians 5:18 say you want to be filled with the Spirit by singing psalms and hymns and making melodies in your heart. That means you got to, you can't work for church on Sunday. You got to do this, and there's an exchange that will occur. This is historical. This is how revelation is gained. See, this is why Job had the wisdom that he had up to the point that he went under pressure. Same thing, Job. After he got what the man and woman of God call a stack attack, you know, trial after trial, all at the same time. But God has already given you the serum for it, the solution for it. You may have to push your praise level up some. See, we at a different level. He did not have the Holy Spirit on the inside. We do. See, Christian, when you say Christ come into my heart, that actually happened. You can't dealings. You have taken in Christ. You've taken the anointing. I explained how that part in said if we could see what was happening anatomically, then maybe we would understand. But you don't have to say. You can ask God about it. That's what Deuteronomy 29:29 is saying. God will withhold some things because there was a man in the Bible never died named Enoch. I'm doing some more research on him. But look at Enoch. He never saw death. But he was always hungering after the knowledge of God. And I'm pretty sure everything that I know Enoch knew. God loved me so much that he said, hey, man, come on over here. You ready. See, but a lot of the process, some of the things, there's some things right now and at a appointed time that I'll be teaching that the reason they didn't know at from and they didn't know or utilize them because God wasn't ready for them to use them. It's just like you can study any philosophers. Most of them guys, like you go back, I can't think of someone now, but one come to mind is Archimedes. That guy, what I learned about him is he had the same math skills 300 years before Christ that NASA has now. I mean, that's where he was. But yet, 80 years later, they weren't driving cars. Why? Because there was a time for that. And now we're at a time right now. Now, hear me right now. Hear me right now. God is looking for people that are going to be mature enough. I'm talking about Christian pew riders that are going to be mature enough that he can utilize to express his love through his power, through miraculous events as we close out this particular age and time. But it's going to demand on you. It's going to put a demand on you. You know, and I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. You can still enjoy some things, and God will tell you what you shouldn't enjoy, okay? I mean, some things is obvious, okay? But believe me, this is why they legalized marijuana. It's spiritual. But it will not give you the revelation and the strength and the mindset that praising God will give you. I've been on both sides of this track. I already know what you're going to get over there. You get your senses messed up. I mean, you can forget some things. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow to a degree, but you're going to come down from that. But you don't have no hope from that. You don't have no manifestation of the promise from God from that. But praise will do that. You know, I was just singing some praises before we came on the air. I'm telling you, this is a different level, but God is going to demonstrate. But see, this is the point. Despite what Elijah experienced supernaturally, it did not give him, he still let his emotions get the best of him. Now, I know on the dark side, in the invisible world, he was being manipulated by demonic spirits. The Bible doesn't tell a whole lot about that in the Old Testament like it does in the New Testament. And in both of them, they haven't had the experience that we have had time to study with, okay? We see events in the Bible, and that's the other thing, a great point I need to get out. You got to get your mind, as I said earlier, past being human. You're a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion. They've been cutting brains open trying to find a mind. It is not there. That is a description of the control of your spirit, focus, ability, mind, will, energy applied to what you focus on, emotions, evaluation of what you focus on. It can make you angry, make you happy, make you sad, make you puzzled, whatever. I was going to make up another word called berizzled, but, you know, the dictionary got enough words. All right, so I covered this point here, and I want to look at another situation. I'm trying not to. His protege. Amen. We're gonna pick that up next week. All right. Well, we're gonna talk a little bit about so kind of give you an idea where we're going next week. And again, these physical events that happen through people, men of God, prophets of God, people that submitted to God, that paid the price, paid the cost to be the boss, as they say, it's going to become common. I'm convinced, and a lot of others are, that as we close out this age, God is going to do, I know he is going to do, I'm doing some supernatural events through average individuals, but what you need to be, but it won't happen with any and everybody. Okay, at the end of this, I always post 7 causes of prayer success. And those 7 causes relate to all the promises of God. This is where when people come up short, and believe me, the shortage ain't never on God's end. And the reason I know them 7 is because I was having shortages, and I'm like, okay, God, what am I doing wrong? Because it's clear you ain't doing nothing wrong. See? And a lot of times it be something simple. But it's simple, but it's like a crack. It's like the dough cracked open. and the devil got his foot in it, and you can't close it, okay? Or he just over there holding it with, you know, with a rubber band, and you can't open it. But see, this thing, the whole point is you have to get into that mindset of being submissive. You got to be mindful to God. Don't go a day without speaking to Him. And you know what? It's got to be sad. I just start asking people, "What did you say to God today?" And thank you. It's good, but you want to be mindful of who. Think about who you're talking about. You're not talking. You know that tells God what you believe. It shows you what you believe. You if you don't talk, you go every day and you don't talk to Him. You know I have now. And I want to run this down. I'm going to share this right now. This weekend, you know, I do this Uber ministry. That's what I call it anyway. And I picked up some people with issues. And one of them was kept harping on how he was a Satan worshiper. And at the time, the Holy Spirit didn't give me nothing to say. Now, that's key. Because I like saying things that just shut people down, make them think, okay? And I realized through experience, now all four of these guys were homosexual, okay? And I understand that, but see, what drove them to Satan worship, or that particular individual that was harping on his satanic worship, is because he got a broken heart. He has a broken heart because you can imagine how Christians are. Christians be hating on Christians, so you know how they treat. If they'll whisper loud about a homosexual, all right. But this is what the Lord gave me in case you run into, because in the Detroit area and in California, I know they had a Church of Satan. Okay, you know I met one of them. They told me how. Benevolent Satan is. I'm like, really? But this is the thing. They've never worshipped God. So give them this challenge to worship God, praise Him for 1 minute, 6 times a day. 1 minute, 6 times a day for a month. And then compare the better God, God or Satan. See, I learned, the Bible tells us don't argue with people. See, and I wanted something to say, and it didn't bother me at all because, see, this much I know, seed got planted because I prayed for them. That prayer that I pray at the opening, I pray that 4 or 5 times a day with people. Everybody that get in my car, that's what I pray, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus, because that's our job as intercessors. And this thing about you are called to be an intercessor, every Christian is called to be an intercessor. That's not an office. The list of offices is in Romans chapter 12 and in Ephesians chapter 4:11. And you won't see intercessor. The intercessor is the job of the priesthood at the old entire body of Christ. The point of the matter is, and even at that, see, that's the point, is being ready to be used of God. Because I ministered to several people this week. I ministered to people that was on the point of suicide. And at the end, they wouldn't have told me right off the beginning. But see, this is why the Bible scriptures say you had to be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that lieth in you. And you need to know the word of God. You need to be able to, and recognize, you can don't just tell them go and pray for them. You need to know how to pray. This is why you need to go to church, so you can hear people that know how to pray, so you can emulate what they do. This is your mission. The mission ain't at church. That's the pastor's job. The pastor prepare you to go out into the world. You're either gonna plant a seed or water a seed. That's what gets the job done. See, and this is the reason you have that ability and authority, and is because you anointed. That's what Christian is. You anointed by God, not your pastor. Your pastor didn't anoint you. And if your pastor anointed you, that means you have a greater responsibility. But he had to get permission from God to do that. Then you're responsible for what he put on you. You are responsible for that. It ain't for something to go and just sit down and do nothing all week long. Pick up your Bible and read it, and God will start talking to you. Amen? And this is the other thing. I've seen we had an incident here in the Detroit, Metro Detroit area. Saints, you have the authority to command angels, and I hope one day to get around that, but you can see that with God. Anytime you had a situation, angels don't just automatically do what they're supposed to do. I know, see, this is another Deuteronomy 29:29. If they automatically did what they are capable of doing, Christians would never have a problem, but they do. So there's obviously something else missing. And it's what you say. You got to see the details, all right? Jesus said he command angels. If the head command angels, then the body can command angels. That's in, I believe, Matthew 26:53. Command. You got to understand. I know y'all don't understand hermeneutics, but you'll get it. Amen? But don't leave home without commanding a squad of angels to encamp around about you. Don't send your kids to school without commanding a squad of angels. I had to learn the levels of how many to command because I was just throwing out. He has innumerable amounts, so I just say send a million angels anyway. All right. But to do this, you need to have Christ on the inside. And that's a simple process. God needs you. See, you may not understand it. Don't worry about what you feel. But this is the thing. You just need to believe. You need to believe, and I guarantee you will receive. I didn't wake up magically one day like this. Somebody, my mother was praying for me. My sister, St. Cheryl, was praying for me. And then God brought the process. He brought it through. I had to accept it. They could pray, but I had to receive it. So this is what you got. All you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, Father God, Lord God, I believe you sent your son to die for me. And I believe that is because I was born in sin. And Father, I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, and I am born again right now. And I thank you for that right now. See how simple that is? that's simpler than Eve eating the fruit. And it was the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. I don't know how they got to an apple. But, amen. So just remember all that. I know we're just getting started. This is a lengthy subject, but I want you to understand because you're going to need to understand that you are in Christ and you have power with Christ. I believe we got one more session in the Old Testament, and then we're going to go to the New Testament where all this work comes into play. And remember this, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. Be blessed.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, sipping by to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like DJ Khaled, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go over go all living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew why I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because the saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had, that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more, I tell you I ain't stressing. Man, it's power that I found in God, I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man, man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun and you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man, man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun and you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living the sin filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said, come as you are. He love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart. And since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me. Make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers or that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus who? Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living the sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too,